everyone. Welcome back to Shasta Goes to the Movies, brought to you in partnership with Film Club at University of Houston. I'm your host and press secretary, Rachel, and I'm joined by my co-host and producer, AK.
Hey.
And technically today we don't have a guest, but technically we do. Mm-hmm. See, what we've been doing is these first episodes, we wanted to have all the officers of Film Club as our guests. So that's why we started with Adrian, the current president, and then Elantra, the former president, and then Zach. The three of them actually started Film Club. Little fun fact, they are our founding fathers and founding mother.
And, the Constitution.
And so technically today I'm the host because I'm press secretary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the fourth to join the officer board. I'm actually the fifth. Oh. But the fourth will be coming later.
The fifth element. Because... Right there, Mia Jovovich in the flesh.
The fourth addition to the officer board lives very, very far away.
Yes.
So we are thinking of just waiting until later, closer to the beginning of the semester, before we have Amy on.
It seems like a good full cycle coming back. I mean, to kind of end it with the... Would she be the John Hancock of the operation?
I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot about the details that went on, you know, 200 some odd years ago.
They don't matter. It's just a bunch of white dudes dividing land between each other. Who cares?
Yeah. All I know is Philip Hamilton.
oh my God. The
fuck boy of the 1800s.
Yeah, the preeminent fuck boy of God. What an inspiration. A legend, really. You just turned 21 recently.
I did, a week and a half ago.
And
roughly.
You've been on some adventures.
Yes. So when I turned 21, it was a Sunday, and my sister and I were like, we're gonna go do something, we'll go to Galveston for the weekend. But then that day I got a text from my brother's girlfriend, and she's like, we want to take you out for your 21st. And I was like, well, I'm busy for like the next 3 days because I'm going to Galveston and then I'm doing an escape room, which was fun. Was great. Want to do an escape room again?
I would love to do another escape room. I had a lot of fun basically solving half the puzzles and then getting blamed for all the problems.
I feel like I kind of picked the wrong room though, because I saw the theater and I was like, oh, that's dope, you know, Film Club.
Yeah.
We're all friends from Film Club. And then
it was a
marionette theater, and I was like, fuck, we're all gonna have nightmares. I didn't even go near that one doll,
the fucking Death,
I don't know,
Silence
what it's called
doll.
I don't know, the doll from like Toy Story 4, like that iconic, you know, the iconic like ventriloquist.
It was doll.
Yeah. I didn't even go near it.
The Batman villain.
Anyway, so a few days later, I finally like had room in my schedule to, you know, go out with my brother and his girlfriend. And I was like, okay, we're doing it this night. And mm-hmm. I get off work, I drive straight all the way downtown to their apartment. I walk in and it's like all of like their friends, well, like a couple of them, the rest of them hadn't showed up yet, but it was like a couple of their friends. I was like, oh shit, it's more than just three of us. I was like, all right, I guess we're doing this. And so then a couple other people showed up after I got there, and then we just had some wine, and I was already drunk when we left. But like, I don't know where we went. We went to some bar. We went to one bar that was outside. I don't know what it was called, but like, we had to like show our IDs at the entrance, and then we got these little like paper wristbands. I don't know what it's called.
They're literally paper race,
but like, yeah, but we went in there, we were there, I don't know how long we were there, but I had like a hard seltzer because that's my drink of choice for some reason right now. I love those. And then I got a cocktail from some like really hot bartender.
Ooh,
very hot. And it was some cucumber thing. I drank about half of that before I gave it to somebody else, and I was like, this is too sweet for me. It was good though. And then we like got in the car and went somewhere else. Some other bar that it was indoors, and they had like a bunch of games or something. I don't know.
All right.
And then I had beer.
A lot
and
of
I realized
the hole in the wall bars around Montrose in that area kind of just have like fucking pinball tables. And
yeah, but they also had
cabinets.
Like this area under down some stairs that they played like soccer and like they had cornhole there.
Oh yeah, like foosball and stuff like that. Classic bar games. Yes.
Yeah. So it was like a giant place. But I was already, like, fucking wasted.
Nice.
Like, me and, like, my brother's girlfriend and their friends, we all had, like, our drunk women in the bathroom moment. Like, me and his girlfriend, like, had our moment of, like, 20 minutes just sitting there telling each other how much we love each other and almost crying over it. And I realized I only like beer when I'm drunk because I've had beer sober before and it tasted like shit. But because I was drunk, I was just like downing these Bud Lights. Like I had 1.5 bottles.
I don't remember the rule. I think it's liquor before beer, never better. Or beer before liquor, never sicker. Something like that.
I don't know. But I
haven't. I don't.
I was at like the same level of drunkenness the entire time we were out until like 20 minutes before we left. So probably like 1:45.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my brother's friends walks up to me with a shot and he's like, it's your birthday, you gotta take the shot, I bought you a shot. I don't know what it, well, I found out what it was later.
Okay.
I didn't know what it was in the moment, and so he handed me the shot, suspense. And then one of his other friends had the same shot that we were gonna do it together. And I was already so drunk, like they were looking at me like my brother was like, don't do it, you don't have to. I was like, I was already drunk enough that I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. So I did it, and like it was okay. And then, like, as we were in the Uber on the way back to their apartment, I was like, okay, it's hitting me. I need to go home. Which I didn't. I ended up spending the night at their place. That was,
that
like,
makes
the,
more
that
sense.
Was the plan all along.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, like, because I took, like, a duffel bag of stuff to work and then to their apartment. Because I was like, I knew I wasn't going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we get there and it's, most of their friends had already gone their own ways. And it was, like, me, my brother, his girlfriend, and then one of her friends at their apartment. And we were watching, I made them watch Good Omens.
Of course.
We'll get to that in Cook Track. We'll get to that.
Yes.
But, yeah, and then an hour after we got back there, I just fucking ran to the bathroom and projectiled all over the toilet. Not even in the toilet, nice. All over the toilet. And so I spent the next, like, 8 hours just back and forth throwing up. So, yeah.
So this
it was
is,
that shot though. I know, because I was mostly like, I was at the same level the whole night feeling like good. It was that fucking shot. I later found out it was the Deep Eddie's Ruby Red vodka. So it was like, I tasted it. It tasted like grapefruit. And I was like, this tastes good. But then I figured like, the more we talked about it, like it was probably the sugar. I was already so drunk. And then all that.
Sugary drinks will get your stomach riled up more than anything. Yeah. This you telling this story made me reminisce about when I was 21, which... feels like a decade ago at this point. And yeah, this sounds accurate to the to the experiences of
the bruises on my knees would make you think I did something else, but no, I was sitting in front of a toilet.
Love it. Love the innuendos.
But anyways, that's how my life has been in the last.
That's pretty great. Just
since
keep going
episode.
Until you're done with being 21 and then reassess that last year and decide if you want to become a full-time alcoholic or just a social drinker. That's basic. The 21 is the decision year for that, basically.
Yeah. I still like my hard seltzers, though. I found a better brand.
I still have your hard seltzers at my fridge, I think.
You should probably keep them there because on my 21st, I bought a whole box of them and they're still in the fridge at my house. Because I found that other brand, so now I'm like, I don't want to finish these. I want to get this one now, but I got to finish those first because those are expensive, so I'm going to finish them.
The brand loyalty with you is the most impressive. Speaking of brand loyalty, your favorite brand, your namesake on your t-shirt right now.
Do you like my style right now? I have platform Crocs on.
I'm loving the summer Spidey look.
Platform Crocs are more comfortable than regular Crocs.
Well, because you don't have, like,
there's more cushion.
There's more padding, right?
It feels so much better.
Yeah. And so, speaking of that.
Spider-Man
Far From Home.
Hell yeah.
Came out, reaching our summer vibes, summer grooves with the meme lord himself in the movie, Jake Gyllenhaal. How was it? I haven't seen it yet.
It's fantastic. I will say, I was not hyped about it to get into it, because I am... feeling a little bit of that Avengers fatigue. I hate to like say I told you so to James Cameron, but a little bit, because like I wasn't hyped for Endgame or Captain Marvel either. I think I just like leading up to the movie, I'm not feeling it. And then I see the movie and I'm like, holy shit, that was good.
That's the best
film. But also part of it was after Into the Spider-Verse, my standards for Spider-Man were set. Like they took the bar. It's in like Olympus.
Yeah.
Like Lord and Miller put that bar up with Zeus.
Yeah,
like,
it's very hard.
So I went into Far From Home and I was like, I don't know. And it's nowhere near as good, but I would say it's the second best Spider-Man movie.
After Homecoming?
No, just in general.
Oh, okay.
Second best.
To Spider-Verse, which is the movie...
which is miles away, light years away.
Yeah, it is It is
the so quintessential Spider-Man movie.
I haven't said this because I've seen this movie at least 4 times at this point. Because every time a new friend of mine will come and be like, I just watched Spider-Verse. It's amazing. It's the greatest movie. And then I'll watch Spider-Verse again. And so at this so point, good. I've watched it like 4 times. And
I saw it. I saw it, I think, 5 times in theaters.
Nice. No, all the times I've seen it was on home theater.
Yeah, and I keep watching it.
Yeah. And to me, it is not only my favorite animated movie of the last decade, it is not only my favorite Spider-Man movie of all time, it is genuinely what I consider the best superhero movie like ever made. To me, like, nothing tops what that movie was able to achieve.
I say number 2 just because Dark Knight exists.
I know it's sacrilegious to speak ill of thou who shall be exalted, our friend, our dearly departed. I get it. But Dark Knight.
Were you about to just talk shit about what's? I forgot his name. Heath Ledger.
It's okay.
This man that I've had a crush on for the last decade. I've been in the mood for 10 things I hate about you lately.
What?
I've been in the mood for 10 things I hate about you lately.
Oh, I've been in the mood for Brokeback Mountain for some reason.
Probably because Jake Gyllenhaal is in the news right now.
Yeah, I think because every time anyone is in the news, I remember them from the movie I really liked them in. And also now we're talking about Heath Ledger, so it made me think of Brokeback Mountain again.
Every time I think of Heath Ledger, I get happy, but then I get sad.
Yeah.
And I hate being reminded of it because, like, especially because, like, Michelle Williams and stuff is every now and then, like, on the day of, like, his, like, death anniversary, she'll, like, post and just be like, it's okay. And I'm like, fuck. It's not okay.
Aw. Dark Knight for me suffers from the Batman problem. It is, one, a Batman movie, and two, it is your generic ass, I am the justice against evil Batman, and that's genuinely irritating to me. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's kind of...
It's been a minute since I've watched Dark Knight, so I'll get back to you that in the next episode if I think Dark Knight is still number one.
Yeah, I
it
genuinely
may be number think two now. I don't know.
I genuinely think it's Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse is... It's
I will say Spider-Man... I'm basically, like, tooting my own horn as, you know, resident Spider-Bitch. But in general, like, aside... Put all that... All my bias aside. Mm-hmm. I think Spider-Man is the best superhero in existence. He's one of the most widely known.
Yes.
Like, you ask anybody, they're all going to say they know Spider-Man.
Sure.
Anybody, any country, all over the world, everyone knows who Spider-Man is. And, like, given, yeah, they know who Superman is, too.
Yes.
But Spider-Man.
Spider-Man is top 5, definitely. 100%. I will agree with you there. I will give you one thing that will strengthen your argument. He is definitely 100% the most relatable superhero to ever exist in a way that Batman could never be. The whole, like, regular man.
Yeah, because the thing with DC is they're like, they put it as like they're gods. Even the ones that are human, they give them that idea.
They literally call them the Holy Trinity.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, obviously, I've heard the argument that, like, the superhero genre in America is basically American mythology. In a way, if you think about
it.
It's our... Yeah. So, but, like, DC takes that and it's just like, that's what it is.
Yes.
They're gods. You gotta believe in them. Like, no, fuck, no. Yeah.
It is... the beauty of the mythology of it is you get to believe in these desperate archetypes.
And a lot of them aren't even human. Like...
Yeah. I mean... But yes, I would agree that Spider-Man is probably top 5 because of the amount of stories he's been in that he wasn't a plot device, right? That he was an active participant in it, and those stories wouldn't have gone the way they went if Spider-Man wasn't in them with the things that he brings into them.
Yeah.
And two, he is definitely the most relatable superhero you could encounter because as an adult, as a teenager... He's a shy, introverted nerd, which is basically the entire comic book reading universe. And as like a college student and a wannabe scientist, he is broke, in debt, and getting abused and used by his idols and his heroes.
That's one of the best parts of the game is there's like, you know, as he's like walking and running, he makes a lot of like one-off jokes. And, like, there's this part where you walk past, like, a fictional college that's in New York mm-hmm. in the game. And he's like, oh, they have all my money.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he gets it. And as an adult, he is working his dream job. But as you realize, his dream job doesn't pay well. His boss is shit. And he's kind of living in a shitty apartment in New York. He is too...
That's why... I think that's one of the reasons the game is so good. It's because, like, Spider-Man is... the most relatable character in any sense, like in every way you've seen him, he's definitely the most relatable. But like in the PS4 game, it's like the epitome of relatable. Yeah,
like especially like we talk especially, about.
Especially
like,
there's one scene where he's like texting MJ, which don't get me started on MJ in that game. I fucking hate her.
They've ruined MJ over the years, and God, I think it started with Kirsten Dunst. It started with Kirsten.
Kirsten Dunst is so narcissistic over that character.
Yes, she ruined it. Yeah. In my opinion. I don't think
Kirsten She turned her into like a whiny, unsupportive bitch.
Exactly.
And that's exactly how she is in the game. But like their thing is like when the game starts, they have been broken up for a few years, but they still like each other.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And so when they start talking again, there's this like scene of like a cut scene of them like texting while he's like swinging around, and it's like a misread thing, like misunderstood, like he sends something and like they're because she's the way it is, it's like he's not working for the Daily Bugle taking pictures, she is.
Oh, okay.
And he's a scientist, and so their thing is because she thinks she can get involved in all that dangerous stuff even though she does not have that ability.
Okay.
She thinks she can. That's her problem with Peter. Okay. She gets mad at him because he's trying to protect her because she can't handle that because she's a fucking human.
Okay, she's Lois Lane.
Yeah.
Basically.
And so they're like, okay, we should be partners. Like she'll look stuff up and then give him information and he'll go take care of stuff.
Okay.
And so then they start talking again, like actually like romantically. And so they're texting and after they've just had a big fight or whatever. And he's like, okay, so maybe we shouldn't be partner. Like, maybe we shouldn't, like, see each other anymore. And he meant it as part, like, partner. As, like, partners. We should, like, stop being partners for a little bit. Yeah. And she's just like, okay. And, like, she took it as, like, them dating. Like, they're done.
Oh, okay.
And so it's, like, this whole cut scene of him just being like, oh, shit. I meant the wrong thing. And yeah. Him, like, freaking out. It's, like, one of the best scenes in that.
Yeah, exactly. It's that related because he is fucking human.
Yeah.
He is not this uber genius billionaire who just gets to figure it out every time.
He's not an alien. He's not an alien. Some woman from an island that technically doesn't exist that was made by the gods. Like,
exactly. And in a lot of those, like the mythology in those and the allegory and the metaphors are all there to represent the different desperate types of people that you have. But if you want a person who represents your day in and day out struggle, Peter is that for you.
Yeah.
And especially as like,
not to talk shit about DC. It's good. Yeah. It's just, it doesn't cut it sometimes.
But to me, also like the special part about Spider-Verse is Miles Morales is also my favorite Spider-Man. Right. There are biases that I have towards Miles Morales, considering, you know, where I come from and what my backstory is. Right. But also that I feel that Miles is a more real and effective thing in today's society. Right.
Yeah. Because Miles is like Peter. I mean, generationally speaking, like when you think back to like the beginning of Spider-Man, I guess technically he's a boomer. But in today's society, he's more of a millennial and Miles is more Gen Z.
Yeah, so exactly.
Miles caters more to the actual young people now, even though we're still technically young.
Exactly. But he also represents a lot of things that Peter was never able to get into. Things like in Spider-Verse, graffiti culture, the idea of like having both of your parents and having them like really want to push you because they want to see your success in America. That, like a lot of the things that make Miles Morales were a little basic and could have like because it's a mainstream comic book, so they're a little like watered down a little bit, but they still affect such a general variety of the audience that you can't deny the appeal of Miles Morales. And for what are their names? Simon and Miller? Is that the creators of Spider-Verse? What are their names?
Lord and Miller.
Lord and Miller. Thank you. I always forget
my
their names.
Arguably best filmmaking duo in Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
And, my favorites.
And for them to bring that personality, that character, with also probably the best representation of comic book come to life. Because the last time we had that, it was corny, but we bought into it because it was the only good one. It was Sin City.
I never saw that.
Yeah, Sin City was like basically filmed
but
like.
But also, I don't know if I'm gonna see it because Weinstein was very heavily involved in that,
and it hasn't aged well, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, it is the best representation of comic book come to life. It is a fantastic story from beginning to end.
And they reinvented animation for it, and that like the fact that this is going back to last weekend when I was out with my brother. I was very drunk, and one of his girlfriend's friend's fiance came up to me, and he's like, "You like Spider-Man?" So it's just 20 minutes of me yelling at him about how good Spider-Verse is, like, drunkenly just being like, "They reanimated the movie." Like, they re, like, I was just, like, slurring over it, but I was like, "This is the best fucking movie."
Yeah, it is. It is. It's like, so I posted and it they, in the
like,
group
they were,
chat.
They were able to take, like, every, like, generation, basically, mm-hmm. and make it relatable because they got Gen X Spider-Man, they got Gen Z like Miles.
They literally got a boomer in Nicolas Cage to be like literally the most boomer ass dude. Like, he was trying to be Clint Eastwood in that. They brought the anime dudes with Penny, like,
and Gwen.
Like it combined so many things. It did it so well. I don't see the argument for any better superhero movie. And someone, and like, I posted it in the group chat, like the work that was put into this movie, like there's three videos and there's a shit ton of other videos that talk about just the tech that went into that movie outside of like the storytelling and the voice acting and all of the other things that were phenomenal in that movie. Just the tech alone makes this movie stand on.
It's been a while. I remember watching those videos like back when it released, so I haven't seen them in a while, but it's like, I think I remember like they spliced it differently so that the cut frames were like, there were less frames.
Yeah.
So it, like, I can't remember the actual technical terms, but they basically cut the amount of frames in half.
Yeah.
To make that whole movie.
It's insane. It's insane.
And that's why like it flows the way that it does, because they wanted it to look like a comic book.
Yeah. And even the little like the sounds, the onomatopoeias in the scenes and stuff like that, never seemed overbearing or corny. They were always cool Easter eggs to discover because they're kind of off to the side. And when you catch them, you're like, oh, they wrote the thing. And like, it's just such a fun movie to fucking watch.
Every time I think of those, I think of the big fight at the end when the giant, what are those called? Those like the anvil, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Anvil, when it drops down and Spider-Ham just walks out and he's like, hey.
Yeah.
I can't watch. I tried watching a John Mulaney stand-up special. I just couldn't do it because I saw Spider-Verse before I started looking at him.
Oh, okay.
And so I didn't realize that's actually what his voice sounded like. I thought he was doing a voice.
No, this is literally his gimmick.
That's just John Mulaney. It's his shtick. That's his voice.
Yeah, it's his shtick is he does that
old-timey New York voice.
Yeah, yeah. He likes that gimmick.
I don't like it. I like it as Peter Porker. I don't like it IRL.
Oh my god, the Peter Porker shorts at the end over the credits were so fucking... Anyways, but this diverted into... We're like 3 minutes over time on the segment.
We haven't even gotten to the other two.
Yeah, but Far From Home, how was it?
It's like, great.
It's good. People should go and watch it, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
good. Cool. It's better than Homecoming.
Great.
Before we move on, let me just say, what happened with Andrew Garfield getting fired because he said he wanted a gay Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm.
It fucking sucks. But he was not a good Spider-Man.
Okay.
That needed to
end. Wait, he got fired from what?
He said he would like a gay Spider-Man.
Okay.
And Tom Holland just said that too, and now we're all worried he's going to get fired.
So wait, he got fired from Amazing Spider-Man for saying he wanted Spider-Man to be gay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Basically.
Oh.
I don't remember all the details, but I know that was one of the things. Is like, he was like, yeah, it'd be cool if Peter Parker had a boyfriend. And then, like, sometime after he got fired. Because it was like the original trilogy where there was supposed to be more.
Yeah.
But then it never happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened with Toby. I think that just fell off.
There were creative differences between Sam Raimi and Sony.
Oh.
He wanted to do a whole thing where he starts to introduce it's a whole fucking thing. But Sam Raimi didn't get the movies he wanted to make.
Yeah.
And so...
His three sucked.
Yes, he was
the
trying to.
The only thing I like about Spider-Man 3 is the whole meme scene with Stevie Wonder, is it? Or James Brown?
James
Brown. That one song.
James Brown.
Yeah.
It was James Brown.
I don't know why I get them confused.
It happens.
Their songs sound a little similar.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
Some of their more upbeat songs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but Yeah, Spider-Man 3 is bad. It's a good meme. It's not bad in the same way that I think those Batman movies, the old Batman movies used to be, like the Schumacher movie, because I think those are good. Because I think that those movies were a really early, really like basic, really kind of like rough attempt at presenting superheroes, and especially the Batman lore, which is something that Batman never revisits, DC never revisits now. The queerness that was available in those Batman stories. Like, Batman used to wear a pink suit back in the 30s and stuff like that. Like, his relationship with Robin, well, a little bit creepy, like, represented a little something more varied about Batman, a more characteristic thing of Batman than just the plot device that he is. And so, what was his name? Fuck it. The guy who directed Batman Forever and Batman and Robin and stuff like that. Like, he was trying to bring that queerness and that ridiculousness back into Batman, and it wasn't appreciated because a lot of people hated it, and then they got hung up nipples, and I don't fucking understand
the George Clooney nipple suit.
Yeah, people genuinely
it doesn't look good, but
the fact that like Twitter, every time anyone mentions those movies, Twitter like loses its fucking mind, like a bunch of fucking white boys, cis boys fucking lose their shit. Like, they ruined Batman by giving him nipples. And they literally explode. Like, it's not a joke to them.
Toxic masculinity.
Yeah, it's total, actual, legitimate anger. And it's really fucking weird and creepy to get hung up on nipples on a suit that looked kind of dumb, but were actually funny.
Although, I will say, like, the Tim Burton weren't that good. But they did
were great.
They did give us that meme of every time Danny DeVito works with him, he's wearing a top hat. Like, all I remember is when Dumbo, like, when it was announced that Danny DeVito was in Dumbo, they were like, it's like Tim Burton calls Danny DeVito, and he's like, okay, I'll get my top hat.
Get your top hat ready.
There's, like, three movies that they've done now where he's worn a top hat
in them. Yeah. Yeah. Danny DeVito is amazing.
He's great. He's a national treasure.
He is. Him and Joe Pesci, both of them.
Have you seen the Bagel Guy video?
So, I've heard about it. Did he lose his shit?
It's not Joe Pesci.
Okay.
The reason Joe Pesci was, his voice sounds like Joe Pesci.
Okay.
That's the reason. Because it was Joe Pesci and then two other things. The company Bagel Bros and then some other actor.
Okay.
Was, Napoleon.
Okay.
Because it's this really short guy in a Bagel Bros in New York who's like yelling at the, who's like basically being misogynistic towards all the women in the store.
Okay.
And he's like all these women are like, you shouldn't exist because you're short. Or he's saying that women on dating sites like won't, he's mad that people won't date him because he's short.
And a Bagel Bros. Basically.
He's just going off about it in a Bagel Bros and someone got it on camera and it's hilarious.
And it's not Joe Pesci.
It's not Joe Pesci, but he sounds like Joe Pesci.
That's so stupid.
It's so funny though.
Oh, that's amazing. On that note, go watch Far From Home. But before that, watch Spider-Verse.
So...
Now,
we just talked about the best animated film of the decade, but I want to talk about the best animated film of the century. So welcome to the hot seat, where today I want to talk about the man, the myth, the legend, Shrek. This Mike isn't Myers. A meme. This is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, Shrek is a classic.
This is my lock screen since high school.
That's amazing.
It's the scene when... They're in Duloc and they just watch that thing.
Oh, they watch the puppet show?
Yes.
Since it's the hot seat, I gotta ask you questions. I don't know which question to start with.
Don't ask me why I like Shrek because I don't know.
When did you watch Shrek?
When I was a kid.
In theaters?
No. I don't know. I don't remember the first movie I saw in theaters.
Mm.
One of my earliest memories of seeing something in theaters was Spirit. I don't remember what year that came out. That horse movie?
Yes.
That's the earliest memory I have. I know I've seen things in theaters before that.
That's like...
I don't think I saw Shrek in theaters because that was 2001. I was about 3 when it came out.
That's
so.
Like if someone told me... Yeah, the first movie I ever watched in theaters was War Horse.
Spirit.
Wow.
I don't remember anything about that movie. I just remember I saw it in theaters. But it's not the first movie I saw in theaters.
Okay, good.
I don't think I saw Shrek in theaters.
I'm older than you, and I know for a fact I didn't watch it in theaters.
I saw 2, 3, and 4 in theaters.
Oh, wow. 2 is good.
That's, 2. Yes.
2 is great.
3 is okay. 4 shouldn't exist.
I'm not the biggest fan of three, but two gets underrated. But I believe that, what's her name?
Julie Andrews. To think that was Meryl Streep for some reason, playing the fairy godmother. For so many years, I thought the fairy godmother was Meryl Streep. And then I found out it was Julie Andrews.
Julia Andrews. And she fucking kills it.
I love what they do with the soundtracks for those movies too. They take all these songs. They fucking turn Smash Mouth into one of the biggest memes in America.
Not just the meme, like genuinely the band of a generation. Like our generation is not defined by.
You brought about that meme of the inauguration.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know was a meme until I sent it to you.
But I looked it up, and apparently the Trump campaign did ask for Smash Mouth to perform at the inauguration.
They hate him, though.
But they hated him. They refused to do it, so they got the kryptonite, guys. They got Three Doors Down.
So when I saw that video the day of the inauguration of Three Doors Down performing All Star, and I thought it was real because then it cuts over to Trump and it looks like he's singing it. I thought that was real until like a month ago when I sent it to you.
Yes, and it's
so for 2.5 years I thought that video was real, and I thought it was hilarious.
I love the fact that you thought it was real, but more so that this was
actually going to happen.
Yes, and that it was something that was going to happen. Like if Smash Mouth said yes, we would have heard All Star at a presidential inauguration. God. But yeah, like Shrek, I don't know how this movie came.
Cast is so like, how do you get those people together?
Exactly.
You get Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, John Lithgow. Like, how do you get those people together?
And that movie survived the test of time. You could watch it right now. And
it came out right at the beginning of the century, and it's already the movie of the century.
Yeah. And
it's animated movie of the century.
And I would argue that movie. It should have, instead of Up being, while I love Up is a phenomenal movie. While Up or WALL-E were the first movie to be nominated for Best Picture?
I don't remember.
It was Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast was the first animated movie to be nominated for Best Picture. But Shrek should have been the second one.
Speaking of that, the first year the Best Animated Feature category was introduced for Disney. Made for Disney.
The other three movies won
the majority of them since 2001. And guess who won it first? The man.
Shrek.
Like, movie of the century. Like,
I don't...
Not, again, to go back to the last segment, this year, going against another big Disney movie, fucking Spider-Verse. Which also should have been nominated for Best Picture.
But yeah, and then DreamWorks won it for Shrek 2, too, right?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I'll look it up. But, unless the Academy, but also thank you for both of those awards.
Yes, because, like, it is... Because prior to that, Disney had, like, fucking dominated the short animated film category. For decades, for years, he dominated it. And then...
Okay. Do you want me to read off the list of the winners?
Yes.
Okay. So, Shrek, 2001, 2002, Spirited Away. So, they didn't even win it the first... Oh, I guess that's technically Disney.
Spirited Away was brought over by Disney, but still, it is a Studio Ghibli movie. It was only distributed in the United States.
Okay, it shows me the other nominees for 2001. So, Shrek... Jimmy Neutron, the movie Jimmy Neutron.
Nickelodeon out here getting Oscar noms.
Monsters, Inc. So they introduced it for Monsters, Inc., technically.
Yeah.
And then...
That was it? Those were the three?
And then they went to five. Then 2002, Spirited Away. 2003, Finding Nemo. Mm-hmm. 2004, The Incredibles. 2005, Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, yeah. That movie's good.
And then 2006, Happy Feet. Rest in peace, Brittany Murphy.
Mm-hmm. I love R.I.P.
2006, Ratatouille. One of my favorites.
Classic.
2008, WALL-E. 2009, Up, which went against Coraline. That should have won.
No, Up is better.
No.
I'm sorry.
I love Coraline.
Up is the one time I liked old people. And Bernie Sanders, but that's different.
Oh my god. 2010 twice. Toy Story 3.
All right. Yes, that deserved it 100%.
2011, Rango. Have you rewatched Toy Story 3 since the last?
So good. Okay, so.
It's been about 2 weeks.
I would like to apologize. This is a pretty good moment to apologize. I forgot the complete ending to Toy Story 3. And Rachel dominated me in that debate, by the way.
I haven't seen that movie in years.
I was destroyed, but I still stand by it as a great storybook ending for that series. And I will stand by it to this day that it is a great ending for that series.
Oh, also 2011.
Rango, by the way, is really good.
I haven't seen it.
It's
I'm scared to watch it now because Johnny Depp.
Yes, Johnny Depp is a piece of shit, but it is probably Johnny Depp's best movie.
Okay. Also, okay. I'm looking back. Shrek 2 was nominated in 2004, but it didn't win because of The Incredibles. But it was also nominated with Shark Tale. So fuck you, Zach. Shark Tale is incredible.
Bye, Zach.
Anything else? No, the other Shreks weren't nominated. Puss in Boots was nominated in 2011. I haven't seen it.
That movie, surprisingly very good, but like,
I've seen a clip of it, of this like dance scene with a bunch of cats.
It's literally The Aristocrats meets Desperado.
Then I should watch it because I love Aristocats.
It's really good. It's like a band of cowboy towns of cats or whatever.
Yeah.
And like it's in France. It's weird. It's pretty okay.
Okay, so 2012 is Brave. Which is very underrated.
Underrated, but I'm surprised it won, considering a lot of people considered it the weakest Pixar movie before the second Monsters University.
I don't know. I wouldn't call it the weakest. I would say it's very underrated, though.
Okay, well, because I always discount Cars because I can't believe those movies exist. And the first one
is good. I don't think
the first Cars is good.
Or third.
But
are good.
Yeah, but. Like, always Brave is very dismissed. And yeah. I like that movie. That movie's very good.
I didn't see it till recently, so I guess I didn't get along that train of hating it. But I think it's pretty good.
It's very good.
But it was nominated against Frankenweenie, Paranorman, which is very good.
Paranorman is better than Frankenweenie.
Yeah. Pirates, Band of Misfits.
Oh, that's very good. It's a British movie. It's made by the Wallace and Gromit people.
Oh, okay.
It's very,
that's
very
good. Okay, yeah. I remember it looking familiar. And then Wreck-It Ralph. Nominated with it.
Oh, okay.
Against those, I would say Brave deserves it. Because yeah. Paranorman is the good, but I wouldn't say it's that good. And Wreck-It Ralph, I don't like either of them.
I like the first Wreck-It Ralph a lot because I think
they both have the same vibe.
Yeah, but Wreck-It Ralph like delivers on the idea in a real human way, when Wreck-It Ralph 2 is just a meme. But Wreck-It Ralph 1, it nails on that in a very human way.
Wreck-It Ralph 2, the entire movie is basically the What Are Those clip in Us.
Jesus Christ. remember the lady from Glee?
Which one?
The
Lea Michele?
No. The coach.
Jane Lynch.
She's
in Wreck-It Ralph.
She is. She plays that Halo character.
Yeah.
And perfect. Perfect casting. Perfect all the way. Anyways.
And then 2013 is Frozen, because that movie took over the fucking world.
Yeah, nothing could have beaten it, but what was going against it?
The Croods, Despicable Me 2.
Okay.
Ernest and Celestine. And
The Wind Rises. That one's very good. Ernest and Celestine is like a French traditionally animated movie about a black jazz musician who falls in love with a French lady. It's very, very good.
Serious animated movies never win.
They never, yeah, no.
It always has to be a kid because it was created for Disney, obviously.
Yeah, so. But yeah, those that movie is fantastic.
And then 2014, Big Hero 6, which I agree with.
Yes, very good movie.
I watched that movie like 10 times in a row.
The manga is really
good.
Yes, I'm surprised that Disney was able to nail the feel of a Japanese thing like that.
Anyway. Yeah. 2015 was Inside Out, which I don't think was that good.
Inside Out is one of my doctor's favorite movies.
I don't like it that much.
I love Inside Out.
It's okay.
Inside Out is really good about, if you want to take like a 12.
I saw one meme that was like saying Pixar gives everything, is like, what if something had feelings? And it's like, what if feelings had feelings? Because that's every Pixar movie, basically. It's sure. Like, what if toys had feelings?
But
what if cars had feelings? What if robots had feelings? What if...
Very true. But my one contention about Inside Out is you could take your baby boomer grandpa and grandma who don't believe in mental illness, and you could take like a 12-year-old who doesn't understand why they're sad all the time, and both of them could watch that movie and understand exactly why people feel certain ways. Because the movie isn't about feelings having feelings. Yeah. To me, the movie is about a kid dealing with all of the weird feelings that they have in their head that they don't understand and making sense of them.
I will say that movie ruined More Than a Feeling, the song, for me. Which, that's Journey, right? Or is it Boston?
It's one of those. It's one of those 70s bands with no.
But it ruined that song for me. I've never been a huge fan of that song, but because of that, because of the trailer, I heard that song so many fucking times, and I just cannot listen to More Than a Feeling anymore.
I don't even think it's in that movie for that long.
It's in the trailer. Yeah, at least. I don't think it's in the movie.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's in the movie.
Okay, and then 2016 Zootopia, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. 2017 Coco, I agree with it. But Loving Vincent was nominated with it. I don't think it deserves it more than Coco, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then 2018, of course.
Spider-Verse. That's a lot of Disney on that list still.
Yeah. It might say the actual number somewhere.
Could you go back to 2010? Was Princess and the Frog nominated in 2010?
let me go back. No. 2010 was Toy Story 3, How to Train Your Dragon, and The Illusionist.
What?
It was nominated in 2009.
Oh, 2009. Okay.
Because, like, even though Spider-Verse won in 2019, it still won for 2018.
Yeah, that makes more sense. Because it
released in 20. Is everything released in that year?
That makes more sense. So, wait.
Or at least, I think it has to premiere.
Who won
in
2009?
Up.
Okay.
It was Up, Coraline, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Princess and the Frog,
Secret
of Kells, which I don't know what that last movie is, but Secret those other
Kells,
four.
Secret of Kells is a Japanese film. It's fantastic. It's a Studio Ghibli movie. Right? Am I right or am I wrong?
French, Belgian, Irish.
Oh, okay. I was confusing it with another one. See, that's a correction right there.
So I guess aside from that last one, because I can't say anything about good. It. I guess that year there was a lot going on.
That is the strongest year you've read out right now. That is fucking, like, I would have given it to Fantastic Mr. Fox. I would have given it to fucking
what about Bolt?
Princess of the Frog.
Nominated in 2008.
No.
Oh my god. There hasn't been a single year where Disney has completely like had the entire nominations, but there's like a couple where they had two or three.
That makes sense.
They have, but there's one that's Spirited, the one that you're selling to is Spirited Away. They have that, I guess, technically. And then Lilo and Stitch and Treasure Planet, which is that Disney?
Yeah, both of those are Disney.
Okay.
Okay,
I'm trying to find the number for Disney.
Has Emperor's New Groove, was it ever nominated?
I don't think so. It should have been.
Yeah.
No, it's not on here.
That's a shame.
Both of those movies are incredible. But Shrek.
If we put a list up of all the movies that have won the Academy Award for Best Animated Movie, Shrek would land in the top three spots. One of the top three spots, right?
It is a classic. I used to joke that it would be considered a classic if humans are still alive a century from now. But it already is. Like, I mean that unironically.
Yeah, no, I don't. There is...
forget the meme. It's an incredible movie.
No, and there's... when, like, for instance, my complaints about Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
They could have changed what fantasy does. They could have opened a new door for new tropes in fantasy, and they didn't do that. They used the same old tropes. And Shrek is a movie about that idea. It's like, look at all these old corny fucking Disney ass tropes and look at us like destroy each and every one of them. And do it in the best way
possible.
They
made fun of the Prince Charming character.
Exactly. Like in Shrek 2.
His entire character is a joke.
And they nailed it so perfectly, right? Like,
yeah.
Like it doesn't... The ending isn't corny because Shrek doesn't become prince. He doesn't turn into a prince or anything. Cameron Diaz decides to stay an ogre. And they live in his fucking swamp.
Yeah.
Like it's literally... Like it's
opposite also, world. But also the onion thing is the most relatable thing that's ever happened in a movie.
So many people to this day still use the onion meme on me. They're like, yes, okay, you're
it's
like
so relatable.
Onion. Like
humans have layers.
Exactly. Like onions.
Yes.
We're all fucking onions.
Like onions.
Yes.
That's why we cry so much.
Because we're always cutting ourselves. God, that got dark.
That got I didn't dark. Mean it for that reason.
That got way too dark. but yeah, it is a classic. The music is classic.
The musical is classic?
Yes.
It's incredible.
By the way, they were not at Rec Room yet.
You're welcome.
But this will not be my recommendation.
I kept recommending this to the club the entire last year.
We are going to recommend
this. And everyone
this.
Jokingly was like, yeah, I'll watch it. And then AK finally watched it. And I finally have somebody to back me up.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, when you mentioned it, when I went home and watched it, that was the second time I watched it.
Yes, because every time I bring it up, people are always like, that can't exist. That can't be real. And they mean it jokingly. I'm like, it's incredible. It doesn't exist for the meme.
And the tech in it is just as good
the
as
way, when they're When they're walking through the forest and the thing spit, like, the stage goes up. Like, yes! It twists up.
It's fucking insane.
It's like a cap on glue where you like twist it and it goes up.
That
like,
movie, that musical literally is up there with Wicked and Hamilton as some of the greatest musicals ever
Chicago.
Made. And Chicago. Man.
I forget Chicago.
Because I'm going to recommend Chicago in my
Okay.
Probably. I don't know. I haven't decided. There's a lot in my head. I might recommend another Spider-Man thing.
Speaking of Renee Zellweger, she's playing Judy Garland right now.
Judy Garland?
There's a Judy Garland movie coming out.
Really?
And it's Renee Zellweger. I haven't seen the trailer. I've just seen pictures and it looks really weird. Wait, okay. But she, in the makeup, she looks a lot like Judy Garland.
This might be fucked up, but is she still...
I don't think she's still alive. I don't know.
No, like the... Oh. Remember the look that she debuted? Is she still that?
Well, if that was plastic surgery, I'm sure she still looks like that.
Oh my God.
I don't think Julie Carter. I'm thinking about if this might be another. She died in 1969.
Oh, okay. This might be
a long time ago. Liza Minnelli still alive?
This might be a side note. It is a side note. We're diverting.
We're talking about Judy Garland and not Shrek.
Yes, but the what's the best Renee Zellweger movie?
I don't know. I like Chicago a lot.
I love Chicago a lot.
I don't know what all I've seen of hers aside from Chicago. Shark Tale.
Jerry Maguire.
I've seen Chicago, I've seen Shark Tale, and I've seen the first Bridget Jones.
Okay. And you've never seen Jerry Maguire? The Tom Cruise, Show Me the Money?
No.
You Had Me at Hello?
No.
Okay.
I might have seen other things that she's in. I think I saw the second Bridget Jones. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's Chicago. Yeah. But I wanted to see if you would argue.
Did she win for that, or was that Catherine Zeta-Jones that won for it?
Catherine.
I think they were both nominated.
Yes,
but I think
Catherine took
won.
It. Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah.
Yeah, Catherine did. Catherine deserved it. She did a better job. She killed it. She's the reason why I remember that movie. I remember her more than I remember Richard Gere in that movie.
Yeah, which I will. That character was just Richard Gere.
Yeah, it was. Like. And also, like, I don't think Richard Gere was the best for that. Like, that original character is different than what Richard Gere did with it, which is make him Richard Gere.
Yeah.
So I don't
but
know
the,
if it was the best
but
casting.
The ventriloquist scene is incredible.
It's very good. Yes.
Christine Baranski has such a small role in it too. But the casting in that movie. Okay, we'll talk about it later.
Yes.
But
Shrek. I genuinely think if you Shrek should end up on the Congressional Library.
Yes.
For
it should they. When was the last time they updated the top 100 movies of all time?
The AFI. List?
Yeah. When was the last time they updated it? Because they should update an Ed Shrek to it. Because for some reason it's not on it, and that's a crime against humanity.
So I believe...
Only reason I know about the list is because Barnes & Noble has, like, in their DVD section, they have them all there in order.
The last time they did it was 2008.
Fuck them. Shrek should have already been on it.
Yeah. Wait, are you serious? The last time the AFI made...
They do it every decade?
That's possible, but we already passed 2018. They should have done it already.
True.
Also, what
get
an
off
outdated
your asses.
List. Also, what an outdated list to have Citizen Kane number one. That's corny. I mean, I love Citizen Kane. It's a great movie, but come on. Let's move up. Let's move up. Like, seriously?
I haven't seen enough movies to say what I think is the best movie of all time.
I don't like that. I don't like saying something.
I know Toy Story is on there.
Yeah. But I don't like saying something is the best thing of its thing because that means...
Everyone has their own opinions. Not everyone's going to like everything.
Not just the opinions. It also means, okay, we did the best we could. We've achieved the best we could possibly do. Close the doors. Yeah. Let's all go home. Like, movies should end if you've made the best thing that this industry can ever create, right? Yes. And I know that that's a corny explanation for why I hate calling something the best thing ever, but like...
But you should always try to, like, strive to be better.
Better, exactly. Like, as much as Citizen Kane is good, I can't deny the fact that...
We wouldn't be where we are today if people weren't that determined to just be better.
Exactly. Like, the problem with Citizen Kane is if you watch it now, you can tell it's in literally every movie you watch because no person making a movie has not studied Citizen Kane. So they put Citizen Kane things in their movies.
I haven't seen Citizen Kane.
Yeah, you don't need to because you've seen it 100 times in literally every movie you've seen. Like, so I don't know.
All I know is it kind of introduced that trope of, like, considering someone's first work their best and then comparing everything after that to that thing, because people were talking about that when Us came out.
Yes.
They were like, oh, is it going to be as good as Get Out? And guess what? It was better, arguably.
It was better. And I would argue that a lot of Orson Welles' later movies are actually better than Citizen Kane.
Every time I think of Orson Welles, I think of, what's that short story with Dorian Gray? I think of Dorian Gray, okay. And then I think of War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Which makes me think, how stupid are people? I mean, I guess. I don't understand why they thought that was crazy. Because I didn't live in a time where people only listened to the radio.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, how stupid are people that they think we're being invaded by Mars?
Because it came on and they presented it. They didn't say this is a joke or anything.
No,
they presented it as a news telecast. But apparently the hysteria is actually, apparently most historians say that it's been overblown. Not to break everyone's bubble about
how
cool that was.
But that's a lot of things.
Yeah, but
there's a lot of things in history that were either made up or overblown.
Yeah, so apparently the numbers of people who, like, lost their minds or called in the police or whatever was actually much lower, and it didn't have the effect it did.
This is complete diversion, but it kind of relates to that. There are a lot of medieval torture weapons that did not exist.
Yes.
The Iron Maiden, I believe, didn't exist.
Until Iron Maiden made a band.
No.
I'm sorry. It's a bad joke. But speaking of medieval times, there's
versions of it that have existed in the past,
yeah,
like in China, but it's not what we see.
Yeah. Speaking of medieval times, Shrek.
I mean,
also, okay, can we talk about how Eddie Murphy fucking just showed up?
Yeah.
And was amazing. Like, I don't think he had a script. That was not scripted.
I don't know.
The things he said, the roasting he did to Shrek was not real. Like, that was not written in the script. He came in and just riffed off the dome.
And you think that he did that for all four?
And I would argue yes, because I feel like he got more progressively bored as those movies went along, and he didn't show up for those last two. Like, at all. And also, what happened to Cameron Diaz? Why has she had this weird thing where she's gotten kind of worse with age?
I don't know.
Like, she came off the gate hot, like, fucking killing it with Something About Mary.
I don't remember what she's done recently other than The Other Woman, but that was years ago.
And Bad Teacher.
Oh, yeah.
She was in Bad Teacher.
I just remember in The Other Woman, they were like, oh, Kate Upton can act. And she was okay. I shouldn't say that. She's like a Houston person now.
Hey, we have Megan Thee Stallion, so we don't need Upton now.
Because she's married to Verlander.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had a kid already.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't been married that long.
Yeah, but, like, she's criticized Houston before for stuff that happened to Verlander. Like, she doesn't... She's ride or die for her husband.
Yeah.
I've
fallen out of baseball in the last few years. 2015 was big for me in baseball. I was at, like, a lot of Astros games because that was the year they got back. That was the year they got back into the playoffs after like a decade.
Yeah.
And we were starting to get better and stuff. And that's when tickets were still cheap. So the last game I went to was probably 2017.
Okay. So you.
But I was like, I was big into baseball 2015, and then I just fell off.
I got in it in 2016.
I don't even know what the team looks like right now.
The Yankees.
I know
we
Springer.
Don't have Keiko. We don't have Keiko anymore.
Oh.
No team has Keiko.
I know we still have Springer.
Yes. Springer.
And I used to have a huge crush on him. I met him in 2015.
You told me.
Yeah.
And he gave you a hug, right?
Yes, because it was my birthday.
Oh, what a sweetheart. He won World Series.
That was the year Carlos Gomez was still on the team too, because I met him.
Yes.
And
but we still have Correa, and we still have Altuve.
Okay.
We still have Ural Gurriel. We don't have Gomez anymore. I believe he's.
I think Mariznick is still on the team.
Yes.
I saw a game on the other night.
Yes, and we have.
He was on the TV.
Garrett Cole. That's our new pitcher.
Anyways.
Okay, Shrek.
We're not here to talk about baseball movies.
Mike Myers' best Scottish accent. Probably.
I mean, isn't that all he does?
Yes.
He did it in Bohemian Rhapsody, and I don't think he. I don't think. What's his name? Was Scottish.
Who? The guy who was playing? I don't remember who he was playing.
I don't remember either, but I don't think he was Scottish in real life.
He just likes the Scottish accent.
British. I think that's the only UK accent he knows.
No, because he did the Gong Show.
What?
He did the Gong Show.
I don't know what that is.
So it's a game show that was brought back by Will Arnett, and they introduce a mystery host.
Okay, the last thing Cameron Diaz did was Annie in 2014.
Wait.
So I don't know what she's doing right now.
Wait, Jay-Z's Annie? Like the African-American Annie?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he was involved. Who was... No, not Jay-Z. Fuck. Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx's Annie. That was a weird movie. I just don't think that Annie is a good story. And I think...
I hate Annie.
Yeah, I don't think it was a good story.
I hate the songs from Annie.
But wait, yeah. So Will Arnett brought back this old game show from the 80s called The Gong Show. But they wanted to make a big joke out of it. So they introduced this British host. And it was literally Mike Myers in
prosthetics. Wasn't that an SNL sketch, though?
Yeah, but then it became an actual show.
Oh.
Like, The Gong Show went on for a season. It was like a mini season. And I think it got canceled afterwards.
Oh, wait, because the SNL sketch was Chris Farley.
Yeah. No. Mike Myers... played like literally
he was the host in the sketch, right?
I think so. And then
Chris Farley was one of the contestants, and he was like, I'm just on a business trip, I don't know what I'm doing here. And then he had to cut off his finger.
But the Gong Show existed before then.
Yeah.
And then Will Arnett brought
it
back.
Obviously they wouldn't have been able to make fun of it.
Yeah. And so
hold on, I gotta Google it.
You gotta see Mike Myers prosthetics, because they refused to say that it is Mike Myers. They kept trying to pretend like he's some British newscaster that's now going to host a game show. It's fucking insane. It is actually insane. Do you see the pictures?
Oh my God.
Yes.
He looks like a wax figure.
Please, if you could, put the Google search in the description box for the podcast. Okay. So people can see what Mike Myers, because I don't think a lot of people remember.
He looks a little bit like Pierce Morgan.
Yeah.
In these prosthetics.
And this, I think that's what they were going for. And also, this was his first role since The Love Guru.
Oh God.
Because he did this before Bohemian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's insane. It's insane that this is what Mike Myers decided to come back for.
God.
But yeah. But he did do an actual British accent.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Who was he playing? It was... God. I will say, speaking of the Bohemian Rhapsody, we could save this maybe for later.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that James Reed, right? That's his name? John Reed? James Reed?
Oh, my God. We've went so far over time on this segment.
I'm going to finish this and we'll move
yes.
on.
Yes.
Who? Aidan Gillen. Who, he played John Reed?
John Reed, I think you're right.
He played John Reed in Bohemian Rhapsody. Made him look like he got fired for no reason, like some misunderstood guy. Mm-hmm. You go and see Rocket Man. You find out we got... Why am I forgetting everyone's names? Rob Stark. We got him playing John Reed. Looks more like him.
Mm-hmm.
Plays him Love the way the he should have been people. Played. As an asshole. The big fucking asshole taking advantage of Elton John.
Love it's the like, fact that the Game of Thrones people
we got Littlefinger just... making him seem like he's misunderstood, and then we got Rob Stark being like, no, fuck you, this is what he was actually like.
I love this rant. I love this rant about this manager that you're very upset about. You've given me this rant twice now.
I was gonna say John Reed should be dying in hell, or like burning in hell, but he's still alive.
So when he dies, he should burn in hell.
Yes, he took advantage of Elton John.
We love Elton John.
Who was it? Oh my God. Ray Foster. I don't know who that is. But he doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
On this note, I think we should move
yes.
on into...
Zumba class at the yes. rec room. So we're in the rec room. You know what it is. We're just going to sweat it out in this hot ass room and tell you what's up and what we want to recommend.
Yeah, we'll try
and
to AK keep it
can
quick.
Start because we already kind of went into it with Chicago.
Yes. So I was going to initially recommend some animated Spider-Man stuff.
I mean, recommend all of it. We have time. There's just two of us today.
All right. Perfect. My two animated recommendations is the Spectacular Spider-Man lasted for a couple of seasons.
The 90s? One?
No.
Or the most recent one?
2008. It came out in 2008. It was there for a couple of seasons. And then because of like hand switching from Sony to Marvel, because Marvel bought the animated series license away from Sony.
Yeah, because Disney airs Spider-Man now.
Yeah, so it got lost in that shuffle and they just didn't want to renew it, so they just canceled the show. I think it is genuinely the best Spider-Man animated series. It did a lot of cool things with the character, and I think a lot of things that if you watch Spider-Verse, you would relate to that particular version of Spider-Man in the animated series. And the other one is a bad one, but I would like to recommend it because it's so fucking bad. It's called Spider-Man Unlimited. It's the sequel series to the 1994 Spider-Man cartoon. It came out for one season in 99.
I've heard of this. Now that I think about it. Fucking bad. I'll be honest. As much of a spider bitch as I am, I don't pay attention to the animated series. I remember the 90s one and that's it.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to recommend them to you. Okay. Two that you might have not. Because everyone has heard of Ultimate and the 1994 one.
Yeah.
The newest
one. I know the theme song from the 1994 one.
Yeah, everyone does. Spider-Man.
Oh, then this one I'm thinking is probably 2008. I don't think I've seen it, but I know the theme song.
Okay, because the theme song for that became like very popular on the internet. It was at the same time that it got the same like popularity as like Undertale.
Yeah,
it got that cult internet.
And then Undertale came back with TikTok.
Yeah, Undertale keeps finding ways to come back.
TikTok brings everything back.
That's very true. But I wanted to recommend Unlimited because it is probably one of the cheapest cartoons I've ever seen in my entire life. And it is fantastic.
Cheaper than the Alpha and Omega sequels?
Those were at least CGI. That one looked like they chopped frame
rates. It's worse CGI than the Hydra in Hercules.
But yeah, but the Spider-Man, that Spider-Man series looked like they chopped up frames so they would save money. It's very weird. It lasted for one season. And now to like my real movie recommendations, I do recommend the live action, the movie adaptation of the musical Chicago. Richard Gere, Renee Zellweger, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
And Queen Latifah.
And Queen, thank you. Yes, I was trying to remember.
Her song is incredible.
She kills it.
Yes.
If you like her singing... she did a movie for HBO.
I thought you were going to say Hairspray. I was like, bitch, I've seen that.
No, it's called Betsy, I think. It is about like an old
Hairspray
Motown.
Is also good.
Yes, Hairspray is very good. I think that is one of favorite fucking movies of all time. I think if there is musical movies of all time, I think that if there was a movie to win the Oscar for best movie, it should have been Chicago, and Chicago did win it. Bessie. It's called Bessie. The Queen Latifah movie on HBO. Yes, it's very good. It's about Bessie Smith. She's a Motown soul singer. Oh. Anyways. But yeah. Do you like Chicago?
Yeah, it's my favorite musical.
It's my favorite musical as well.
I haven't seen... I was telling AK on the ride over here that I've only seen technically one musical on stage, which was Meet Me in St. Louis, which is a very old musical that nobody talks about anymore, but it's pretty good. I don't think it introduced Have a Merry Little Christmas or something. That song.
Okay.
The like really, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it introduced it, but it's in the musical at least. So I think it helped make it popular ages ago.
Okay.
Oh, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Oh,
that song.
Okay. Now
it's in that. It was pretty good, but that's the only one I've seen on stage. I've seen a lot of film adaptations. The only like recordings I've seen are Shrek the Musical and Cats, which I only watched half of Cats because it was very tiring.
Yes, I only watched half of Cats, and then they got to that back alley scene, and
very tiring.
Understand.
I didn't even get to Memories.
Oh yeah, I didn't either. I don't think I did.
Like, I don't even know when that. I don't think I'm gonna see the adaptation.
I think it's the showstopper for the show.
It's the most popular song.
Yeah, I think it is the showstopper.
I'm probably not even gonna see the film adaptation because I don't even.
Oh, and I watched the movie because for a class, I forgot to tell you this on the ride over. For a class, I watched the movie adaptation and a recording.
There's another movie adaptation?
No, of course
not. Oh.
And that one was okay. I like that one.
Okay.
Chorus Line is very good.
Because the Cats one's coming out later this year.
Yeah, they're bringing back Cats.
They have a huge cast. I don't think I'm going to see it.
No, I'm pretty sure there was like an old 70s Cats movie, TV movie adaptation.
That might have been the recording.
Or it might have been, yeah. Yeah, it might have been. Because it was a PBS thing, and PBS does put on the recordings for the plays.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of recordings of Les Mis.
We were talking about this.
There's a lot of them.
I have a very complicated history.
There's some live concert versions as well. There's, I think, two film adaptations, maybe more.
That Les Mis is also one of the perfect conceptualization for me of like something that's so overhyped and overdone to the point where you're like, I hate it because it is so popular to a certain extent.
I like it, but yeah, I hated it because it's so popular.
Exactly.
I will say there is, this is such a random side note. Mm-hmm. There's a song. I didn't listen to Made in the AM by One Direction when it came out. I had fallen off the One Direction train by that point. So I'm just now listening to that album for the first time.
Uh-huh.
But I'd heard a couple of the songs before, obviously. Because
mm-hmm.
obviously like
on the radio
on like Perfect and when Drag Me Down came out because they were in Houston filming that music video and that was a big fucking deal. But there's one song on it called Olivia. For some reason, it's not a lot of that album is basically just sampling. That majority of that album is sampling from other songs.
Okay.
And for some reason, I know that song is not sampling from Les Mis, but it reminds me of Les Mis. And it sounds nothing like Do You Hear the People Sing? But it makes me think of that song for some reason. I don't know why. I can't it samples from like an AC/DC song or something.
Now I want to hear.
Or like a Rolling Stone song, I think.
Now I want to hear One Direction sing When the People. I would love that.
When I was in high school and that came out, and I was in choir throughout high school until my senior year because junior year was a hot mess, and I literally left all my extracurriculars.
Junior high is a hot mess for a lot of people, me included.
No, like junior year of high school.
Oh, yeah,
I think I've told you how awful that year was.
Yes.
So like for senior year, I just cut everything out.
Okay.
And so I left choir, which was one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
But I left it. But my junior year. So we had like multiple concerts. We had our fall concert, which was like UIL music, like the classical UIL music.
Yeah.
And then like our winter show, we had like the first half, which we would perform like some of Messiah, Handel's Messiah.
Ah, okay. Yeah,
and then like Did you
do Footloose?
No. And then the second half of it would be like classic like Christmas songs like Jingles. Okay. And then we had like a spring show, which was a very short show. It was like 15 minutes. We would usually do some kind of prepared medley. And so my junior year we did like one year we did like the 60s. Another year we did
What did you do?
I can't remember. We did Sweeney Todd.
Oh, okay.
We did Sweeney Todd songs.
I don't know why I'm thinking of Fiddler on the Roof.
And then
right now.
My junior year, we did Les Mis. And like, she had somebody, there was one girl whose like grandma was a seamstress. So she had her cut little strips of red fabric for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, just tie it somewhere so you look like you're part of the revolution. I was like, fuck. Like, and now like knowing, like I would die. Like for French history, like it's fucked up. Like I'm not saying it's the greatest country in the entire world, but like their history is insane. That revolution specifically was insane. So like knowing what I know about it now, I'm just like, God, fuck that movie.
So I don't know why, for some reason, while we were talking about medleys, I remembered that Pavarotti was involved in a Fiddler on the Roof adaptation.
I've never seen Fiddler on the Roof. I don't know anything about it.
It's a classic Jewish story.
I knew it was Jewish. I just don't know much about it.
Yeah. It's the most famous song from it is If I Were a Rich Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the most.
Is that the song that Gwen Stefani stole from?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But I don't know why I remember Pavarotti being in a movie adaptation of it, but I can't fucking find it.
Back to the French Revolution, I will say this. I figured out a lot of people know this, but a lot of people don't know this.
I don't
think Marie Antoinette popular. Never said, let them in cake. Somebody said that years after she died that she said that. She never fucking said that. Anyway, but she was like that. She was still a piece of shit, but she never said it.
Oh, the fiddler on the, okay, it didn't, it's Sartheim Topol. Okay, it's Heim Topol. It wasn't Pavarotti. I confused them because they're both, baritones? Are they baritones? I don't remember. You're choir. I was never in choir, but
baritone's lower.
Yeah, Pavarotti.
I think it's been years, but I think it's tenor, then baritone, then bass.
Yeah. Yeah, what was Pavarotti? I don't know why we're here. How did we make it over here?
I was talking about choir and Les Mis.
Oh, he was a tenor.
A tenor, that's the higher.
Yeah, and I think Topol was also that, or he was a baritone. Whatever. I don't know. I confuse all the Italians
together.
I'm a
soprano, too.
You're a soprano?
Yes. I'm a soprano too, though, so I never got the melody.
Oh, okay.
I got just below it, like a couple notes below the melody. Mm. And the soprano once got to sing out.
So the soprano is the second highest, right?
Or
is
it the highest?
The highest.
Soprano, and then it splits soprano one, soprano two, and then mezzo soprano, I think.
Okay.
And then alto one, alto two.
Okay. And then it's the lower.
And then tenor, then baritone, and then bass.
Bass.
But you want to know how much it fucking sucks to sing All I Want for Christmas Is You and not being able to sing the melody? Because you have to sing just like one set note the entire song.
Man, this is why I never got choir.
Choir sucks.
Yeah, I never got why choir was a popular thing.
Anyways, sucks.
He still has show times? He's going to be at the Regal Edwards Greenway Grand Palace? What?
What the fuck?
Okay, I guess if y'all are interested,
anyways,
y'all can go
musicals.
See.
I mean, I will say the next musical I'm planning on seeing on stage is We Will Rock You, which is the musical
for
Queen, and Ben Elton wrote it.
Yeah, okay.
I've been very invested in this musical for years.
I think that's all of my recommendations. So what's yours?
I'm going to finish my rant about.
Okay, go ahead.
It's like, it's not the most original story, but it like caters to the 21st century quite a bit. Okay. But it also looks like a bunch of boomers wrote it.
Okay.
About the 21st century. Because,
and of course, the two guys from Queen who are involved in every Queen thing now are
involved. Well, yeah, because why am I forgetting everyone's
Me too.
Names?
I've blanked out on
John Deacon, he quit in like the late 90s because he didn't want to do it without Freddie.
Yeah.
So that's why it's just Brian and Roger now. And Adam Lambert.
And I feel like those two are kind of, no offense,
they're full of themselves.
Yes, and like I understand the Queen is all four of them, right? It is all their legacy.
Yeah.
But dudes, just stop. You're literally sullying the history of what your band means to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Especially like
Queen. I'll say this. Queen is my favorite band of all time.
Mine
but
too.
I'm going to say this. Queen ended in 1991.
Exactly. To me, that last album of Freddie is the last.
Made
album.
In Heaven, which released, I think, in 91 or 92. Yeah. But it was some of his last recording, which they also recently released something from the archives.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called Time Waits for No One. Because in like the years leading up to his death, he didn't stop recording. He just kept going, until he couldn't. Until like two weeks or like maybe a month before he died, he like actually, his doctor was like, you have to fucking stop and like lay down. But like he literally was in the studio in like Canada, just continuously recording and recording everything. So there's a lot in the archives that we're probably never going to hear.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
he
and
did not stop.
My biggest issue with the whole like sullying of that legacy is Adam Lambert is very talented. I don't enjoy any of his music, but I understand that he's
all
talented.
All I know is that one song that came out after he lost American Idol. What Do You Want From Me or
yes,
something?
Yes, exactly.
That's all I remember.
Yeah. And the fact that he is now, I have to go on the Wikipedia page and then at Queen members, it'll read fucking Adam Lambert.
Yeah.
It's such a disappointing fucking thing. And I'm not even a nostalgia bird, but like, I feel like, when bands are over, you close the door and everyone goes the fuck home and we make movies and musicals about you for the rest of time.
Yes.
But you stop doing things.
Yeah.
And stop being involved. Let people interpret what your art was about.
I'll give them credit for not going the hologram route.
Holy shit.
I think it's the most like dehumanizing thing you could do to a dead idol.
Yes. It's still in the hip hop community, it's still the thing that's made fun of the most is the Tupac thing
at
Coachella was like really embarrassing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so
because like even though they didn't do that one Super Bowl with Justin Timberlake, they still what they did was a little disrespectful.
Oh yeah,
because
100%.
Prince was 100% against that kind of shit.
Yeah.
He was very open about how much he hated that stuff and how demonizing he thought it was.
Yeah, and how demeaning it was for him. And like, yeah, no. Prince is a god and does not deserve to be treated this way, especially by fucking Justin Timberlake.
He's married, he has two kids, and he will not stop talking about his breakup with Britney. He will not leave this woman alone.
Oh my god.
I hate him for that reason. He pisses me off. It's been how many years is it? He's married. He has two kids.
They
it's
got
been
married
ages.
In Vegas for 2 days in like
it's
96
been ages
or something.
Since him and Britney broke up, but he still will not shut up about it. Like, leave her the fuck alone. She's struggling. She's got to take care of her dad. Leave her alone.
Justin Timberlake is a cornball.
Leave Britney alone.
Anyway.
Chris Cocker was right. Leave Britney alone.
Leave Britney alone. Your recommendations.
Okay. Anyways, I gotta go back to my list. I was on Wikipedia. My first, this was briefly brought up. Rush Hour.
What?
Rush Hour.
Yes.
This was brought up last week while we were hanging out. Incredible. I grew up with those movies. It's some of the best bloopers in cinema history. Yes. Of Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker just like fucking around.
Yes.
And Jeff, like, oh.
Yes. It's a classic.
Oh, my God. All three of them are good. We don't talk about the fourth one with Kev Jumba and the other guy.
No, you mean the third one. There's only been three.
There's three with Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker.
Okay.
And then there's a fourth one with Jumba, the YouTuber. And wait, then some basketball player. A while ago.
What?
Yeah.
I know there was a TV show.
No.
Rush Hour.
Rush Hour 4. It's Kev Jumba, the YouTuber from Houston, actually. And then some basketball player. I think they just announced another one with Jackie Chan. I think they said they're coming back to do another one. I'm not sure. Like a real Rush Hour 4.
Yeah, but I have problems with the third one. But yeah, those three are, oh my God.
The cab driver in Rush Hour 3 is incredible.
Yeah, you reminded
me of
that.
He's like the most French dude. Yes. Wanting to be such a spy.
Yes. When you reminded me of that, that was probably the best part of that movie.
When they get in the car and he's like singing the national anthem and he starts singing the French national anthem because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yep.
And then Chris Tucker walks him through the American national anthem.
Some of my favorite favorite fucking things in Rush Hour 1 is any one duo scene that had just Jackie and Chris in it. Like the war scene when they were singing war, when he explains to him how to fucking get out his police badge.
Yeah.
When they're fucking in the prison.
It sounded like you said when they're fucking in the
prison. Well, sure. And also, probably my favorite blooper of all time. My favorite scene in all
of
Rush Hour.
One of my favorite bloopers, well, I have two from that, is when they're practicing the fighting in Rush Hour 3. But the other one's also in Rush Hour 3 when he's struggling to say El Pollo Loco for like 15 minutes.
El Pollo Loco.
And then...
Because in the first one, he couldn't say Kafulta Fish.
Oh.
In the first bloopers, he can't... It's been a minute
since I've seen the first two. I've seen the third one a million fucking times.
And the problem is every time I make the joke, Kafulta Fish, there's always someone that knows what the fuck I'm talking about. Like it happened in one of my classes, he kept saying it's our only or something. And it kept reminding me of Kafulta Fish. So I yelled like Kafulta Fish. And then the girl sitting right next to me was like, that's what I was thinking about. And like, so there's always someone that knows. And then in the second one, when they again get on the airplane, it's Chris Tucker. It's at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
When Chris Tucker's struggling to speak Chinese. And then Jackie Chan is like, ha 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 ha. You think speaking English is easy for me. You can't even say three words in Chinese. I was like,
Americans are stupid.
Yes.
But also another is, I think it's also in Rush Hour 3. Because again, I've seen that one a million times.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I think it's Chris Tucker's phone who rings while they're filming, and he just
that's in one.
And he just hands it to Jackie Chan, and he's just like, hello?
Yeah, he's like, we're filming right now. Call me at 7. Yes, I'm with Jackie right now. And he's like, can I talk to him? And he's like, they want to talk to you. And he's like, we are filming! We are filming right now! I watch those bloopers every like 6 months or something. I'll find them on YouTube. I'll watch those and Jim Carrey bloopers for some reason. And like my favorite blooper of all time is in Rush Hour 2. This is my favorite blooper in any movie ever. They drop the fucker. No, it's in Rush Hour 1. They drop the fucker out of the window on top of a car and he dies. And Chris Tucker, like Jackie's watching him. And then Chris Tucker runs up to the window and he's like, well, that motherfucker is not going to be in Rush Hour 2. And he just walks away. I love that shit.
Okay, anyways, my next one is Midsommar, which we briefly talked about last episode. It's incredible. I don't know why I forgot that was Ari Aster's like theme.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not just a cult like Hereditary was. It's a commune, like a murderous commune in Sweden.
Okay.
And so it sets it up. This girl is like, her boyfriend's a dick, and it like shows that kind of thing of like a relationship that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be together, and they don't want to be together really. But it starts out like her sister commits murder-suicide. She like kills their parents and then kills herself.
Oh, okay.
And so she's like, her boyfriend like was ready to break up with her because that happened. He didn't. He like stuck around because she was struggling.
Yeah.
And then they're planning, it's like him, I don't know the actor's name, and then his friends. And so it's Will Poulter and the actor who plays Chidi in The Good Place.
Yeah.
Which it's so weird seeing him act like a just like a regular millennial. And
that's how we felt about Adam Driver and when we first saw him in Star Wars. Because like me and my friends were like because me and my friends watch Girls. And we're like, he's the sleazy New Yorker from fucking. I can't imagine him not being bad.
Yeah. And then their Swedish friend who's there like who's going to the same school as them. They're all in college.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he invites his guy friends out to Sweden for the summer for their midsummer celebration. He lives in a commune
mm-hmm.
where every summer they have this like festival. And okay. it's not like Coachella, which I thought it was, but it's not. And so then she finds out about it like 2 weeks before they're supposed to leave and she's pissed off. And so their Swedish friend is like, yeah, come along. It's fine. And so they go and they're in this commune and they find out they don't have parents technically. They all just like all the kids live in one giant house. And like everyone raises the kids like mice, like because you know like mice they like share responsibilities of like raising the babies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that almost. Like everyone lives in certain houses, and then they find out these festivals are really fucked up. He like jokes about like the Swedish guy like jokes about how when you turn 32, you move into a different house with all the adults, and then your life. And then he's like explaining life in these like age. Sequences, and then he's like, and then you turn 72, and then he just like leaves it. They're like, what the fuck does that mean? What happens when you turn 72? Mm-hmm. And then they go around this corner of this cliff, and these two old people jump off the cliff.
Oh Jesus! Okay.
Like willingly in front of the whole like commune, and they're all like okay with it, but all the Americans, of course, are like freaking the fuck out because they didn't explain it to them.
Yeah,
and so they find out this like celebration is really fucked up, and like, but it's normal to them because their commune and stuff.
Okay.
And then so she, I don't know that she becomes a part of the commune because it ends like Hereditary where like someone ends up smiling or something.
Huh.
And it looks like you think it's going to be like, oh, they get out of it. But no, it ends with her smiling.
Smiling. Okay.
So anyways.
Yeah. So I was.
Spoiler alert.
It's fine. So I was thinking while you were explaining this, because like we have this crop of new directors, Ari Aster.
Which I found out he also did The Strange Thing About the Johnsons.
Yes. Which is a fantastic short movie. Which
makes total sense.
Yes, because he is a creepy motherfucker.
Yes.
Like Fede Alvarez, Ari Aster, Jordan Peele, Robert Eggers, the guy who directed The Witch. Fede Alvarez directed Don't Breathe. So this new crop of directors that like have a very distinct style in what they do. They are original, creative, experimental, and also have a theme that they're always like seeking and going after. And so there's like this continuity in the films that they're doing, right? But a few years ago, I don't know if you remember this, but a few years ago, we had this crop of like dudes who were supposed to bring, they were a bunch of douchebags who were supposed to bring back horror back. The guy who directed Saw, Cab, and the other dude who directed fucking Quentin Tarantino's friend, the Jewish bear dude, who directed Cabin Fever and Hostel.
Oh, okay.
And Piranha.
Oh,
I know.
Oh my God. Are you talking about Eli something?
Yes.
Eli Roth.
Eli Roth. That crew of people were supposed to be the guys who were going to bring back horror, and they failed miserably because none of their movies, like Rob Zombie was one of them.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to bring back horror to its grand glory, and all they did was copy old movies and make them worse.
Yeah.
And now we actually have that renaissance. David Robert Mitchell, who directed It Follows, Andy Muschietti, who directed It. I'm looking at a list of some of the best directors that are doing horror movies. The director for Green Room, Jeremy Saulnier.
Maybe this is why I'm so into horror all of a sudden. It's because it's actually good and original.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with just remakes that actually, they scared the shit out of me then because I was a kid and I didn't understand it. But now when I look back, I'm like, this is absolute shit.
Yeah, like Jennifer Kent, who directed The Babadook, she put out a movie apparently last year called The Nightingale. Can't believe no one wanted to watch it. Like,
it might have been really low budget or something.
She does do a lot of low budget movie. I think she did The Babadook out of her own pocket and stuff like that. And so
I still haven't seen that.
It's so great.
It's on my Netflix list.
It's amazing. It's one of my favorite horror movies of all time. And I know Charlie, one of our members of the film club. Because if you only watch movies, you're not really a film fan.
At Charlie.
But he would disagree with me. He does not like that movie very much.
Okay, I have one more recommendation.
Go ahead.
Good Omens. I think you already recommended. I can't remember.
I've recommended it twice.
If you recommended it or if it was in a segment.
No, no. But, I recommended it twice.
Okay. But now it's my turn to recommend it because I have watched it 3 times in the last 2 weeks. Because that show is my favorite show of 2019. It is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And also, when I was, before I started throwing up, we started watching Good Omens. Like, because I've been trying to convince my brother and his girlfriend to watch it. So they started it while they were very drunk. And then the next morning, while I was still throwing up, she restarted it because she was like, I was too drunk to remember it. So I'll start it over. And I remember, like, laying down in, like, their bed because I was, like, just, you know, tired as fuck from throwing up.
Yeah.
And all I hear is Bicycle Race by Queen from before they hit Anathema.
Yeah, because, like, but Crowley's favorite music is Queen.
No, the joke is in the book. In the book, it's a joke. How if you leave a tape in a car too long, it eventually turns into a Best of Queen tape.
Oh,
that's the joke.
Oh, they never explained that in the show.
No, but, I mean, it works either way, I think.
Yeah.
So I started reading the book. I haven't put a dent in it, but I've gotten far enough to understand that joke.
Mm-hmm.
But it's incredible. I love this fucking show. I have not watched... I got out of the house to watch Spider-Man from Far From Home twice in theaters. And then today I watched a little bit of Adventure Time. And yesterday I watched half of The Forest, which I don't recommend The Forest. And of course, I recommend Adventure Time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's all I've watched other than Good Omens for the last 2 weeks.
I
mean,
you know how I feel about that show. I literally recommend
it. It's incredible. I wish it wasn't a miniseries, but I'm glad it was.
Yeah, if you catch the first 2 episodes of Shasta Goes to the Movies on YouTube or Spotify or your preferred streaming service... that show.
It's so good. I ordered the materials.
To me.
I ordered the materials to make custom Aziraphale and Crowley Funko Pops.
See,
because of this show is so incredible.
I'm gonna toot my own horn.
I wish Amazon put their originals on DVD or Blu-ray because I would own that shit because they don't put behind the scenes.
Yes, but this is me tooting my own horn. I'm not gonna be humble about this. When I recommend something, y'all motherfuckers better listen.
Yeah.
Y'all better check yourselves and check it out because I know what
go
the fuck.
Go fucking watch Good Omens. That
go
show
watch
is
Good
so
Omens.
Incredible.
And now that I have
proof, if you haven't used up your student Prime yet, go ahead and sign up for student Amazon Prime because you get it for free 6 months and then half price after that.
Yes.
Go fucking watch it.
Yes. And now
that and then go watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yes. And now that I have
and
proof.
And then Sneaky Pete and then
yes,
the others.
Thank you. Because now that I have proof that I know exactly what the fuck you want, you better go fucking watch Sneaky Pete. Everyone needs to watch fucking Sneaky Pete.
Oh my god.
You understand? Okay, cool.
Our recommendations section of meetings is just gonna turn into AK just standing up and just be like, listen to me.
I know what's best for you.
Kelly's gonna be running down the recommendations. She's like cowering. She's like, what the fuck?
I know what's good for you. This is good for your health. Anyways, take us away, Rachel.
Anyways, so Shasta Goes to the Movies is brought to you in partnership with the Film Club at the University of Houston. Opinions shared in this podcast do not reflect that of Film Club at U of H, the University of Houston, or the U of H community as a whole. Follow us on Twitter at U of H Film Club and send any questions to theuhfilmclub@gmail.com. Thank you to my co-host, AK.
Abe.
And thank you to the audience for listening. We will see you next time.